Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome back to The Fighter versus the Writer. I'm here, Martin, and today I am here to present an interview with one of my favorite people in the sport to speak to. She is the former UFC strawweight champion, of course, one of the biggest names in the sport. Now she's currently back down at the American Top Team, working towards her next fight. Always a fun conversation, always one of my favorite interviews. So let's chat with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I am always happy to welcome back my next guest. She is the former UFC strawweight champion. She is one of my favorite interviews in the sport. She's back in Florida training down at American Top Team. And from what I see on her Instagram, really enjoying the beaches again. Welcome back today, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Joanna, how are you?
Hey, man. It's good to hear from you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You know this. I love you, man. And it's good. It's good to be back. Finally, it's good to be back to American Top Team down to Florida. It's been 4 weeks already. And I'm doing very well, man, because the base, the preparation I had before I came here are working good because I feel more strong. My condition is so good. My strength in general. So it was easier for me to get back to training with all the beasts down here at American Top Team headquarters in Coconut Creek.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, it's funny, we spoke a while ago while you were in Poland. Yeah. I was kind of joking about all the things you have going on. When you come to the States now, like, it's the only time you can just focus on training, because I know you have so many things going on in Poland. Can you give me a sense of, like, all the different projects and things you've been working on at home?
Oh yeah, I'm always very busy. So like I said before, it was my time for myself, time for me as a woman, human being, as a businesswoman and an athlete. Because like I said, I was training really hard. I was super busy, crazy busy, traveling every single day, working every single day, but the training is always my priority. But the work I put in training back home, like I said, I can get the right fruits right now because I feel great. But yeah, man, I wanted to make sure that everything is going the right direction, because it, when my fighting career blew up. I was focused on my fighting career, what was good, but you know, I like to do so many things. I'm a person with so many hobbies, passions, businesses, and I wanted to make sure that everything is going the right direction. So now I have clear head, strong heart, and I can be focused only on training. But man, what, like, running some businesses, some partnerships, some sponsorship obligations. But like I said before, for me, being a brand ambassador of some company is not only about the money, the promotion, but it's all about the mission. So I'm trying to build my sponsorship and business relation on, like, a very family basement friendship, and it's working very good for me. So there's so many projects. I want people to be healthy. So I'm starting my project with the supplements, with my sports equipment, juicers, and but what I'm proud about is that I did my first, I did my racing debut as a driver. So I can't wait to do more races back home, and I'm planning to do Dakar race in the future. I fell in love, man. It was like, it was just a test for me if I really like it or I'm doing this for fun only. But man, it's dope. It's awesome. And I want to do it more. I'm an athlete, but it's different kind of tiredness, you say. It's different kind of workout, you know. It's like, it's crazy how focused you have to be behind the wheel. You have to be focused on so many things, but I love it. The adrenaline, I love it, man. The competition, it's great, but everything is good. I'm happy to be here, and waiting for the next chapter.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about the racing. I heard you talk about this when you were on the Punch It In podcast with the guys at American Top Team. So when did you get into racing, and give me it, because there's a lot of different racing out there. How fast are you driving? Because like racing, that's like the scariest thing to me is like, the, you know, when you're going like 100 some miles an hour, like
No. Hey man, but I have an idea. I'm a Monster brand ambassador, and I went to the, what's in Daytona? NASCAR. Do NASCAR. Like a few days ago, I was like, hell yeah, I would love to do that with Monster and my another partners. But I do the cross country, so it's more safe because you don't go that fast. You don't go like next to the trees or rocks. You do it like on the rough like field. In the forest as well, but it's crazy. But I drove like 130 kilometers per hour, so it was not that fast, you know. But since I was a little girl, I was into the cars, and when I was maybe not poor, when I was not rich and I couldn't get a good car, I was dreaming about good car, and finally I have my good car. But it's not about being fancy and to show to people that I can afford something, but I really love cars, and I call names. I call my cars names, and I just love it. You know, I love the sound. I love driving, and I love the atmosphere. You know,
yeah.
I like the smell. So I'm really into. You know.
Yeah, it's funny over here. Like I know because we have a lot of the big NASCAR racetracks. Yeah. Like you can actually get on. Like I know they'll do things where you can go and like test it out. So I feel like you need to go out and like test out like a race car and see how it would go.
I would love to. Because I did so many lessons, I did some tests, and I did the race, and man, and I was like, okay, girl, you can't do like so many things, but I know that life is so short, so I want to do things I really want to do, and I feel like I love doing, and I know I don't wanna waste any single second of my life, you know. I wanna try things and decide what to do next, and I really fell in love with racing, and I love it. But my fighting career is my priority. I have to be safe. I can't get injured, so fighting first.
Yeah, I know, you know, fighting, you know, we've talked so many times, but you know, fighting is your passion, you love doing it, but yeah. At the end, you know, we know fighting is, there's two things about fighting. There's legacy, there's championships, there's accomplishments, but there's also making a living, making a paycheck and earning a living.
Yeah.
Do you feel like what you've been able to set up outside of fighting in terms of all the different businesses and sponsorships and endorsements and all the other projects, like, have you set yourself up now to where you don't need fighting? And I don't mean you're not fighting. I know you are fighting, but I'm saying, have you set yourself up to the point where you don't need to fight anymore?
Yes. And I feel like I'm making more money outside the octagon. What's kind of sad for me, because my big hobby, big passion became my job, and it's fighting, and it's all happening. We're talking because of my legacy, how dedicated I was and I am, and because of MMA and my job. But it's kind of sad, but on the other hand, I get as much as I can from here and now, because I've been doing this for 18 years, and you all know this, but my life got changed when I got into the UFC, when I became the champion, when I got more opportunities, I started making money. So I'm trying to get as much as I can, but I'm doing things I really love to do. But yeah, I accomplished a lot in this sport, and it's not about the money, but I feel like I'm in the spot where I can ask for more money, because I deserve this, you know, I deserve this, and I know my worth, and that's the thing. So it's hard, man, because so many people that are like, maybe you should stop fighting, you shouldn't be doing this, you did this, you do that, you have this business, the other business, but you can't stop the love, you know, because love is real, and it's the only real thing in this world. And I have love to this sport, and I feel like I want to do it, and I feel like I can do it, you know, that's the thing. So it's hard, man, because every day I get message, are you retired, or she's retired, or the other things, you know, but it's hard, you know, when you don't. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know you love it. I know you love fighting, but also all the things you've been doing outside the sport, from, you know, doing TV and again, endorsements, all the different things you're doing, it probably makes you understand your value a little bit more, right? Like, you know your value to the UFC. You know your value in fighting. Like, of course, you love fighting, but you know what you're worth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what's crazy? I feel like I own something to people, you know. When I have sponsors, I own them fighting, you know, but they sign with me not because of only I'm an athlete, I'm the former UFC champion. They sign the deals with me because I have a mission, you know, and I know what to tell people, and they know who I am as a human first. But sometimes I feel like I'm in the cage, but I feel free, but like I own them fighting, you know, because it's my work. But so very often I forget about myself as a human, as a woman, but I know, because I'm very confident, but yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard. Yeah. But I don't know.
I don't know,
but I feel like I want to do it, but yeah, the work, like, it's been a while. It's been 2 years, and I ask myself, "Oh, why it took so long?" But then I'm realizing, like, girl, you've been working these last 24 months, and you were on mission. You were reaching your goals, your dreams, and that's the thing. So I can't forget about these things. But you know how crazy it is? Fighting still hasn't first, and I'm like, no, but you haven't fighting. You haven't done anything in your life. No, you've been doing things, girl, and that's the thing, but yeah.
Let me ask you this, Joanna, because
but I wanna get this paycheck, you know, big, and I feel like I can do it, and I wanna go there and step into the octagon and fight with one of the best, of the greatest, the champ, or the number one. And yeah, this is what I'm waiting for.
What conversations have you had with the UFC in terms of not only your next fight, but I mean broader in terms of your contract? Because I know we spoke, I want to say it's about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and I think you told me at that point, I think you said you had like one fight left on your deal, and you were, of course, looking to, you know, get, again, re-up, things like that. What conversations have you had with the UFC in terms of your future?
Oh, I don't know. Like, they said I have two fights more because my contract got extended because I was not fighting. But I think I have last fight in the contract. But man, if I will be back to fighting, I would like to do this more often. So that's it's normal that I want to extend my contract. I want to re-sign with the UFC. I want to be on the road for much longer. So I think we should sit and talk more with the UFC about next step. It's not only getting aware of the contract. This is how you say?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
So it's all about our mission, you know, about continue this, doing these things, you know, because like I said, I feel on fire, I feel strong, I feel good to do it. Even the level of women's MMA is growing and went up it's crazy how it went up in the last 24 months, how it grown. But I'm ready to do this, put in work even more and keep on fighting on the highest level.
Yeah, you are your own person. You are your own career. So I don't want to compare you to anyone else, but I want to ask you this question because as you talk about contracts, you talk about negotiations, I'm sure you've seen at least a little bit, you know, the situation going on with Francis Ngannou, of course, the UFC heavyweight champion. He's kind of at a...
Hey, so many Musashi, the former UFC fighters, you know, and probably I'm in the spot... I am or I'm not. Where back in the day, they thought the same. No, I will be with the UFC forever. You know, I'm still having a contract, or I can extend the contract. I know it's a business, you know, and there is some value we bring into this business. But I really would love to stay in the UFC till the end of my fighting career. And I'm really looking forward. I see the bright side, and I believe that I will re-sign the contract.
Yeah. When it comes to fights itself,
I feel like we hear about the money, like Usman got more money, like Adesanya got more money. Of course, I'm not the champ anymore, but I've been in this business for such a long time and I had such a big impact in this sport, women's side and in general, you know, so I feel like I can get this as well. Because I'm bringing people to the arenas,
yeah,
and I
absolutely.
Always put on hell of a performance.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, there's a lot of fighters who aren't technically champions who, you know, deserve a lot of money. I mean, they you know, it doesn't mean, you know, just because you don't have a title right now doesn't mean you're not one of the biggest stars, one of the most well-known.
Look at
names.
Look at Georgie. Look at Dustin Poirier. Look at, of course, McGregor is something else, but I feel like I can be the female version of these guys, you know, and actually my teammates. This is what I was talking about with Mikey Brown this morning, because we were drilling and we are so hyped for Georgie, for Dustin Poirier as well, where he's at right now. And we were talking about, like, look how many champions we have in the gym, how many great athletes, and how many personalities, you say? Like, personalities?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, the personalities, talking about, for example, Dustin or Georgie Masvidal or the other people who are not having the belts, you know? Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. I had heard, and I know when we spoke last, you told me, and this is going back before the title fight, you told me that, you know, you wanted a big fight. You wanted a champion. You wanted Rose or maybe, you know, Zhang Weili. Those are the two fights you were probably most interested in. I know you mentioned maybe Carla as well. Of course, now we know Carla is probably going to be
fighting
Rose.
Yeah.
But
that's
I heard
cool.
that.
That's fine.
And I heard that the Zhang Weili fight was out there, but then I heard a rumor that maybe she's not going to want to fight again until later in the year. What have you heard? Because I know that's a fight you want, and I know that's a fight a lot of people would like to see, the rematch. What have you heard in terms of that?
Man, you know what's crazy? Like, so many people that are like, oh, get an easy fight. You've been out for a while. Fight. Fight is a fight. Fight is a pleasure. The hard work is so many years before. I have to cut them the same amount of money. I'm crazy in my head. When I'm training, when I'm preparing for my fights, I'm crazy, man. I don't go easy. So I don't want to, I don't want to fight easy. I don't want an easy fight because I will be training hard, like for the championship fight, you know? And so I prefer to fight big name, number one, or the champion. And I heard that Weili Zhang might not be back till late July, August. What they told me was that she was planning to be back to fighting March, April, then May, June. And the last thing I heard is July, August. So I can wait and I want to wait. But on the other hand, I don't want to wait that long. So I don't know. It's complicated, man, because all the girls from 1 to 10 are booked. But like I said, I'm only looking at the big, 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 big fights.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing I was going to mention. I mean, you know, that's the fight that makes the most sense. But you look at the rest of the division. I mean, they got Marina, you know, Rodriguez is fighting Yan Xiaonan. You've got, you know, Mackenzie Dern is fighting Tisha Torres. So a lot of the other top fighters are booked. So, again, it wouldn't really make sense for you to fight the you know, number 10 person or somebody up and coming. Like, the Zhang Weili fight is the one that makes the most sense. The only problem is waiting till August, I'm sure that's not what you want to do. It's kind of like a tough situation.
Yeah, it's tough because when I was planning my trip to the States, I planned this trip already in October. So I knew I had like 3 months left, October, November, December, to work really hard and make sure everything is good back home with the business. And I wanted to hurry. I even texted like Mick, you know, matchmakers, they play. So I texted Dana, like, Dana, can I fight the end of March? I will be ready. He was like, okay, let's do it. But then we got the info that all the girls are booked, you know, and I was like, no, I want to fight till the end of the March, because if Carla, when Rose fights Carla, then I will get the championship fight. But then I realized, like, why to hurry? You know, I haven't fought for 2 years. Doesn't gonna make a big difference if I don't fight extra for 6 months, you know. But so I'm here training, waiting. I'm training really hard because every time I come here, when I'm not in camp, I promise myself to go a little bit easy. But man, I'm training really hard, really hard. So everyone in the gym, even the coaches, are asking, when are you fighting? I'm like, I don't have fight book. No, it's not true. You can tell us. I'm like, hey guys, I don't have a fight booked yet, but they see me training really hard, and that's the thing. So I'm taking it easy, you know, talking to Dan Lambert, Jennifer Goldstein, who is my manager, CAA management, which we all trying to keep stay in touch with the UFC, Mick, and make another decision.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does, again, the rematch with Zhang makes more sense.
Hey, even it if seems it's... like. Seems like she's training. She's posting pictures. She's training. So I really would love to fight her sooner than August.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Let me ask your opinion, the fight between Carla and Rose, because you fought both of them, of course, and that is an interesting rematch. Of course, Carla beat Rose, but it was several years ago. I'm curious, what do you think of that title fight? Do you lean one way or the other?
I think Rose is totally different fighter than she was, but I know how it is that you can be the best in the world, but when you face someone, this person might not be the perfect fit for you. You know what I mean? Like, so let's see, you know, how Rose will deal with the situation, with the loss she had to Carla back in the day. But I think Rose is on the higher level than Carla Esparza right now, but she's the next contender. She deserved that, I think. I know she deserved that. And it's going to be an interesting fight.
Yeah.
But I think Rose can finish this fight in the first round. Yes.
You mentioned before, and this is going back before, I think it was before Rose and Zhang got matched up for the rematch, but you know, at that point you said, you know, champion or number one fighter, that's the only thing that really makes sense. And I totally agree with you. How much would it mean more to you down the road to get that third fight with Rose, just because of, you know, maybe a little bit of the controversy around the last fight? And, you know, I know becoming champion again, I imagine it means different things now than it did when you first got in the UFC, of course. But would that mean more to you now to, like, get that third fight with Rose, to get the championship back in that kind of a fight? Not to say anything bad against Carla. If she wins, I'm sure you would gladly fight her again. But you know what I mean.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yes, the spot where I'm at, where I am right now, you know, big fights matter to me, and I would love to fight Rose for the third time, and it's a big fight, and this is what I'm interested in. You know, that's the thing, and I think this fight is going to be different than the last two, and it's going to be even bigger for me personally. Like we said, The rematch, the first rematch, I wanted to hurry. I wanted to get my belt back because we know what happened before. But it's important to me, like, not to get the revenge only, you know, but to fight one of the greatest right now, you know.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the point.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Because you are one of the greatest, you know, most people would say the greatest strawweight of all time and all the things you've accomplished, but are you at a stage now where you need to be, more, what's the word I'm looking for? Like more selective, more, you know, you have the option of, you know, when you talked about like rushing back in March versus waiting till August or things like that, like, do you feel like you're in a position now where you need to have the right opportunity is as important as anything, because you want to be active. You want to fight again. We all know that. But again, is it better to be selective? Like, are you in a better position now to do that? Because it's kind of like when Ronda was around or, you know, Connor, like Connor's a great example. Connor's not going to just fight anybody. It's going to have to be something that makes sense for Connor. Are you in a little bit of the same position where it just wouldn't make sense for you to fight somebody else?
Yes, I'm more selective. And some people will say I don't deserve this or that, but I feel like I deserve that because of all the things I have done for so many years back in the day, like I've been doing till now. But yeah, I have to be more selective, and I don't want to be, you know, I've been in this business for a while. I'm the former champion. I'm dedicated. All the girls, so many girls want to fight me, but I can't do this mistake. I can't make their wrong decision, you know, because, you know, in this sport, anything and everything can happen. So I can't be just the bag full of potatoes to get beat up and let someone and help someone open the door to the better world, you know, to better fights, to the championship fight. So I have to be more selective and think about me, about myself, my fighting career, and what I'm still want to approach in this sport, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you with that, Joanna, in terms of being back at American Top Team, that is your second home. I know you have loved being down there. And when you, I know when you, because you made a trip to ATT last year when you didn't have a fight book, you just went down there, had some training, and of course, I know you love being there. How long are you going to stay? Are you kind of open-ended in how long you're going to be in Florida this time?
3 months, man, 3 months. So all people are like, wow, crazy, you know, without fighting. Yeah, 3 months. I feel free, you know, and I'm a very family person. So every day I have to check on my family, help them, be around my friends. But here I feel free, you know, I'm still in daily touch with my family and friends. But here it's all about me. And I said this so many times. I live like a monk here, you know. Small car, small apartment, easy life, penny board, bicycle, nice weather, training, home, training, home. I love it here. And now it's all about me, my fighting career, and my legacy.
It's funny to think, as hard as you train, and I've seen you in person train, I know how hard you train. It's almost like training and coming to Florida is like, this is going to sound weird, it's almost like a vacation because you don't have anything else going on. Like, you're just focused on training and that's it. Like, it's not a real vacation, but it's a different, like, you're not doing a million other things.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? When people see me like, oh, beach picture, pool picture. Man, I live in Poland and I love European weather, the Polish weather, all four seasons. But I love sun. I love going to the beach. I love going to the pool. And I don't have much time to do that. But when they see all these pictures, like, yeah, go back to the gym. Man, dude, I just got back from the gym, but I know how to manage my time. So I can hit really hard training, eat quick and go to the pool before my second workout. And I just love it, you know, if you want to go lie down on the couch and do nothing, you know, I like to do different things. So I'm enjoying my life every single day. If I'm here in Florida or back home in Poland, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask this question for you, Anna, because you have been, you know, at ATT for such a long time. I know your relationship with Mike Brown, Ketel Kubis, all the coaches down there. We're in a sport, and you know this, you know, people come and go. That's just part of it. But I know American Top Team has enjoyed a whole lot of loyalty. There's a real family atmosphere at that gym. But I'm sure you saw recently Amanda Nunes made the decision to leave ATT and start her own thing. Now, I'm not going to ask you to, you know, take a shot at Amanda. I'm not asking you that. But were you surprised? Because, like, it felt like there's certain people like you, Dustin, George Masvidal. There's certain people I'm always like, they're going to be ATT for life. That one really shocked me.
Yeah, I haven't spoke with anybody about, and I'm not trying to look for some different part of this deeper story of this situation. It was her decision. She felt like she had to do this for herself. I made this decision a few years ago, and I found what I was looking for here at ATT. Amanda had to leave. I wish her the best. I don't feel like there is a bad God between her main coach Conan or Dan Lambert. I don't feel this. I don't feel bad blood. Nina still coming to the gym. Now they left for the TAF. And I was training with Nina. And we want to help each other. But I don't know. It was her decision. She's the champ. She's still the champion. We can't forget that she's still the champion. And I really believe in her that she will be back to holding two belts. I feel Carolina is coming to American Top Team. Karolina Kowalkiewicz preparing for her next fight. So many great people, like you said. But I feel and I hope that nothing's going to change and I will stay in ATT forever. I'm a little bit upset with the new girls. And, I don't like the ego of the new girls. And some of them, they are young. Of course, they are talented. They are very good. But sometimes they make groups. And, I've been out for a while. I got back because I'm always very friendly. I'm tough on the mat, very strict. But these girls, they know I'm not trained. I'm like, dude, sometimes I'm like, really? Are we ATT nation? Are we ATT girls? Or we are not, because if you want to be a rival, like be a rival in the cage, But so this is what I don't like now. But there are good girls who are training with me, who we are training together. But sometimes the ego of these girls, no, I'm not going to do it because you're too strong, you're too good, or maybe, JJ, you're too weak for this, and I don't want to do it with you. But I feel like you can get a lot from each person in the gym and every training. It doesn't matter if this person is better than you or a little bit lowering the level than you, but so I feel like I'm happy for the new generation, but sometimes they feel like they should get everything like for free, even your time, your attention. But it's not like this, first of all, we are humans and we should respect each other.
Yeah. Well, I know that when you are at American Top Team, you, again, it's like a second home to you. And I know I know loyalty has been a big part of it, wins or losses. You've been there with Mike Brown and Ketel Kubis and your team. And I know how much they mean to you in that regard. And it's not to say, bring it back to Amanda. It's not to say they don't mean anything to her. But I mean, I know how much that is important to you. But it is weird to hear you say that about, the kind of the new fighters. We do hear this from time to time. Fighters coming
in. And I had a podcast punching in with Dan Lambert, Richie, and I, you don't bring this, sometimes you don't bring the situations out. Like, I'm very happy, and I'm happy with the training. My coaches, not only my Branka Pekubic, but the rest of the coaches, they're taking really good care, not only of me, but the rest, all of the fighters, you know, and we all feel on the same, like, level, you know, the way they treat us, coaches, the number, they've been lovely. I call him a father, but sometimes it's weird, and why not to bring it out? Like, these girls should, and I spoke with someone important in the gym, and I told, like, hey, is it only me, or I see big, or I think that some of the girls should keep the ego or put the ego into the pocket? And he said, like, big ego. I'm like, okay, so I'm right, you know, I smell the bullshit, and that's not right, you know. But like I said, I'm the former champion, you know, but I'm still on the highest level. So if we train together, it's good for both of us, you know. And so I don't need your attention. I don't need your training, you know, if you want to play like this. So I prefer to train with the guys and get really good training, you know, than only hang out with them, the girls.
It's funny you say that. I spoke to, if you know who Casey O'Neill is.
Man, it's sad, you know. It's sad. It's sad for me that the girls are worse than the guys sometimes, you know. And this is sad because... you build success. Success is built on good family and friendship, and on the good relationship. You know, not the mean things.
Yeah, if you know who Casey O'Neill is, the flyweight fighter, she just fought Roxanne Modafferi last week. I spoke to her a couple weeks ago, and she said she's out at Extreme Couture, and she said she only spars with her male training partners. She said there ended up being too much drama around training with some of the women. And if you remember, this is going back when I was down at ATT with you, I saw you sparring a couple of the guys down there, and they're really intense, great training sessions. But she said that, like, she only trains with guys because there's just too much drama sometimes surrounding training with some of the girls.
I totally understand her. And some of the girls, they are tough. They train really hard. We have so many talented young girls. Oh gosh, man, they are so good, and they are going to do really, really well in the future. But yeah, too much drama. And sometimes they want to go easy. Like, I don't go easy during training. Training is time to learn, to evolve, to really get on the next level. Even if you feel like you're the best, in the best shape ever, you can be better with every training and every day. You can be better. You can change some things. And sometimes I feel like gossiping, you know, I don't do this bullshit. And sometimes there is three of them, like, training, like, hey, why to switch in three? Like, I'm free, or my friend is free, or that guy is free, you free, so let's train together. Like, no, we three train together. So yeah, and you standing, you waiting to get, instead of getting as much time together training, like, I'm not just I, it's just stupid, you know. It's just like, because I don't like to waste any second of training, you know.
It's like high school all over again, you know.
It is, man. It is.
Yeah.
Gossiping. I don't like this, you know. Bring it here and now, you know, and make the situation clear, especially when you teammate, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
Yeah, well, I know you're also kind of like the old school ATT. You've been there for a while. You're the queen, we know. I think that's what Dan Lambert calls you. You're the queen, right?
Yeah, but I don't act like a queen, you know. I don't act like a queen, and that's the thing, you know. I don't need this attention. Like, of course, like, it sounds like I'm narcissistic, but no, they call because they make fun of me with Richie. But man, they know that they always can... My teammates, they can count on me, you know. They know that I'm always there for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you're here, you've been here for about a month. You said you're going to be here for 3 months. Do you have, like, things going on back home in Poland, like, when you go back, in terms of, like, all your commitments, like, in terms of, like, all the things you're doing over there? Like, do you have to carve out this 3 months to come over here? Or how is your schedule in terms of, like, with you booking a fight and things like that? Like, how do you deal with that? Because you do have so many obligations back home.
Yeah, man, I'm happy that finally I surrounded by good people. And it's all about trust, because back in the day, I thought I had the best people in the business to do this or that. But now I get as much as I can from here and now, from this conversation, from this moment, from this person. And I feel like my posse, you say. I learned this word. So the group of people, my friends and the business partners, is like so tight. So we expect more. I became like sometimes more bitchy because I'm like, no, we don't do this way. You can't do this way. Because I used to be not assertive enough, but now I am. And I know it's a good good habit, especially in the business. But I have people who run these things and I get just reports every day. But, you know, I'm planning to do another TV show in Poland, be a host maybe, or part of host. So they have so many things coming up. I'm planning. But right now I want to be focused on staying here till middle of April. And I'm really looking forward to be a guest at the UFC 272. 272, yeah, it's Georgie's fight. Or
yes,
three.
Yes, yes.
I'm really looking forward. I'm on the list, so I'm really hoping I will get there, meet my friends, meet all of you guys, and feel the atmosphere again. But yeah, I keep eye on everything. Everything. I'm in touch with my people in Poland, and I'm very happy. That's the key.
Yeah. Are you excited to see Georgie's fight with Colby Covington?
I am. I am very, very excited. And it's hard. Colby is a great athlete, you know. And what I remember from back in the day that he was always training on the mat. When the training was done after 1.5 hours, he was doing extra 1.5 hour with Georgie Masvidal. And actually, I had this conversation with Jotko a few days ago that how crazy it is. They were friends. They were always together. Now you see all these promo videos, like they were cornering each other, and now the biggest rivals. And it's crazy, you know, it's a tough fight for both of them, but I really have a feeling that Georgie Masvidal will surprise again, like he did with Darren Till or Ben Askren. And I can't tell you guys that he's training really hard. He's super focused. And I'm very happy for Georgie that he made it from nothing to something, you know, that he got what he deserved, you know.
Yeah.
I'm super happy for him. It's super big fight and super important fight for all of us. But he has all this ATT army behind his back because Colby just didn't make a good impression when he was leaving, you know. So yeah.
Well, you know through your own hard work, Ioana, in terms of like, you know, you get a lot of attention. You're a star, all these kind of things. But you've kind of been yourself this entire time. You've never changed who you are as a person to just get attention. You don't suddenly start saying crazy things just hoping someone will put a microphone in front of your face. And listen, I don't fault anyone for getting attention. I don't fault anyone for going out and getting a paycheck. But the one thing with Colby, it's like you burn a lot of bridges doing that. And he burned a lot of bridges, you know, leaving American Top Team.
You know,
and that's difficult, you know?
You can't burn the bridges. And the worst thing about Colby is that most of the things he said he has done, it isn't true, you know. The way he was acting after he won the interim belt, like the old man opening the door for him, having a driver, all these girls, dirty bitches around him, walking to our Mecca American Top Team, it wasn't true, man. So why are you acting like Conor McGregor? Like saying bad things about Conor McGregor there's only one Conor McGregor. So don't call him, don't call names on him, and you're trying to act like him, you know, but you poor, you have empty pockets and you're trying to act like a king, you know. You can't do these things. You can't tell lies, you know, and karma is bad, and I hope that Colby will have strong ass when it hits him. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. And I think, you know, Ioana, we're all looking forward to you fighting again. I know we've had this conversation a couple of times, but
you know, Jenny, like so many great athletes, like from different organizations, the upcoming prospects from our gym, like, oh, Ioana, when are you going to fight? I'm like, dude, I don't know. Maybe never. I'm like, no, you can't. We want to see you fighting. I'm like, dude, I know. But I feel like, I feel like I will get what I want, and I feel like I just need to be more patient more patient. And I really, like we were talking, like I could go and fight for this money I'm getting now, but I will feel ashamed to fight for this money, you know, because my man, like you saw me after my last fight, and I wanna be mother in the future. I wanna be businesswoman. I wanna enjoy my life. So I don't wanna get beat up or get the health issues for nothing. So better to get the paycheck and do it.
Yeah. Well, that's a great, again, what I want to say to you is like, I love watching you fight. I love watching you perform, but the reality is, Joanna, I get just as much pleasure seeing you find success in other things. And if fighting isn't providing that in terms of, you know, compensation, it's not paying you what you need to be in the cage, and you can do TV shows, you can do endorsement. Yeah. I want you
and
to
I
be
love
happy.
It too.
You know, I want you to be happy, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
I love watching you fight, but I don't want to watch you fight when you're not happy with what you're getting paid, all these kind of things.
Yeah,
so that's happiness matters
Thank
more,
you.
Right?
Thank you. It means a lot to me, man. It's like it melted my heart, really, because it's hard for me. I ask myself every day, like, should I been fighting or not? And I pray every day, like, God, give me the answer. Help me. Like, you know what happened to Lima last time? He said, like, no, I'm not fighting anymore. God gave me an answer, you know? You heard about the Bellator fighter.
Yeah.
So, but I'm, you know, it's a little bit different with me. But I'm like, should or not? And, like, people are like me, like, because I'm like I said in the beginning of this interview, like, I should be fighting to keep the deals, to do this, to do that. No, I approach my legacy is so big. But I'm very happy to have people like you. I'm very happy to have someone like Jennifer Goldstein. Man, he's super smart and he's like role model to me. She's representing me. She's from CAA, but and she told me this too, like, I want to see you happy. But, you know, I don't want people that like do what you feel like you want to do. But it's hard to say stop to the things you love doing, you know. But yeah, we will see, man. We will see.
Well, you only have, you mentioned
that. I hate to say this, but now it's all about the money. Somehow it's all about the money, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen. So, I mean, you know, we all,
when
listen.
People,
I,
if they can get this money and go and get the beat up, like train, you know, and like, I feel like I can get more because there is much more money in this sport than when I was the champion even, you know?
Yeah, I love my job. I love covering the sport. I love talking to fighters like you. I love doing what I do, but I'm not doing it for free. I'm not doing this just because I love
That's
it.
The
so
thing.
You
That's
love
the
it,
thing.
But you need to be paid properly so you get to get
and
paid
not,
for doing what you love.
And it's not like it's not enough. I feel like I'm on another level right now. I need to get paid. I ask for promotion, you know. People say like, oh, but you don't have a belt. You lose. You're losing fights, but man, maybe I lost my last fight, but it was hell of a fight of the year, you know.
Yeah. Well, hey, Connor doesn't have a belt, and you know, Connor, you know, everyone who watches what Connor, Dustin Poirier, you know, Dustin Poirier is a star right now. You mentioned George Masvidal, a star. He didn't have a belt right now. He's still a star. He's headlining a pay-per-view. I mean,
but
that
George,
doesn't...
he told me like, yeah, I was in the spot. Where are you at right now? And be patient. This is what Georgie said. So thanks, Georgie. I will be patient.
I love it. Well, Joanna, thank you so much for taking the time for me.
Thank
as always,
you.
You know, I always love our conversations. I'm glad everything is going well in Florida. Actually, funny enough, I'm actually speaking to your coach, Mike Brown, later tonight. So I'll
that's nice.
Yeah. So I look forward to
let him like tell like Mikey go home because he's always in the gym. He's crazy. But I'm very happy to that I that like how many years like 4, 5. 6 years, almost 6 years ago, I found coach like Mikey Brown or Kato Kubis. They are there for you, you know. There are people, there are coaches who are not going to say like, I made you, but they're for you to make you a better person, you know, better athlete, better professional martial artist. And, but like, this is crazy. This dude doesn't sleep, you know.
Yeah,
Mikey Brown.
He is, he's crazy.
But we love you, Mikey Brown, and thank you for doing this.
Absolutely. Ioana, thank you again for the time. I always appreciate it. Enjoy Florida. Enjoy the beach. It's cold. Yeah. I'm in Ohio right now. I got Poland weather up here right now. It's very cold up here.
It's cold here. It's cold here as well. Raining a lot. It's windy. This week is like winter storm, they say, but it's crazy. But guys, I love you. I'm looking forward to see you at UFC 272 in Vegas. Love you all, and I can't wait to step into the octagon and do it for you guys. Much love.
Thank you, Ioana. Talk to you soon, okay?
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. A massive thank you, as always, to Ioana Jędrzejczyk for giving me the time. What a fun interview that was. I want to say a big thank you to her for taking the time out. Make sure you listen to this podcast. If you want to find on other podcast platforms, of course, you can find on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Everywhere you get your podcast, you will find it. And, of course, you can always find it over at MMAfighting.com. Make sure you come back and see us each and every Tuesday here on Fighter vs. Writer. And thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you then.
Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.